We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:47 on the clock for Wednesday, August 16, 2017. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: one is the general agenda, two is approved minutes of the meeting held August 2nd, 2017, three is approve all claims through August 16, 2017 in the amount of $1,296,755.43, except claim number 17080166 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $902.50, and claim number 17080221 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $1,349 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving county offices inventory statement and place on file. Approve specs and call for cleaning bids for the Highway Department and Extension Office. Bids to be opened on September 13, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Tiemann. Discussion on any of those? I think Terry will go over a little bit of why the claims were where they were at, that dollar amount and stuff. So vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 17080166 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $902.50 and claim number 17080221 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $1,349 for a total of $1,299,006.93.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Lytle. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Billings and Ground, Winter Lights.
Okay, I will call on Mr. General David Jones to give a report.
Good morning. I just had a few things. We will have Jeremiah Dirksen from Diode come down to give a proposal for a new camera system and to discuss replacing the phone system at the courthouse that we have now, and he'll be here after 9. This past couple of weeks, they did get the fence replaced to the east of us after the storm damage, and we'll be turning that claim into NERMA. That was covered on insurance. Attorney's office, they're working on that right now to create a secure lobby area to keep people from just walking right in and making themselves at home. I talked to the committee about turning on the holiday lights on the courthouse on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to welcome the Eclipse visitors. I did make up some real small signs and had them laminated that say no tent camping on the courthouse yard. I'd also like to put up a sign that says lawn chairs welcome, though. So if people want to sit here, that's fine. We'll be here and keep an eye on things.
And the lights won't come on during the eclipse.
They will not.
They're on
no.
a timer, so
yes.
They're not by a sensor.
No,
so
but the sprinklers will.
Only if the crowd gets rowdy.
Do we need to put a disclaimer up that just because Davey's inviting them to watch it here that if they don't wear their sunglasses, that's not on us?
That's not our liability.
Right.
Safety glasses, not from Amazon. They got to be from the chamber.
It's got to be the ones from the chamber. They can't get them from somebody else.
Those have been approved.
And I guess I feel like, I mean, they're welcome to be here on the grass. I'm not really inviting them, but I'm just trying to stop any confusion that they know that I mean, if they want to come here, they can, because I know that with the city opening up camping, I want them to know that we're not city property. We are county property.
I would think you could call on Engage, our economic development group, to be able to help with all these people. This is a totally positive thing for them. You'd think they could be right here to help you. Wouldn't you?
I would appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization. And
we've got lots going on, obviously, and we'll get back to that in a little while.
Okay. Finance and insurance.
Okay, we need to try to explain this. I'll go through the main thing that will jump out here is the transfer to the road and bridge, $575,000. And this is just normal bookkeeping. That's how Galen gets his bills paid, the transfer from the general fund. Matron Incorporated, annual maintenance and support, $21,075. Spectrometry contract with the assessor's office, $10,537. Postage for the meter, $10,000. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $44,558. Rock on Incorporated, Township Hauling, $16,069. Sap Brothers Fuel and Oil, $20,533. And Straight Line Striping, this is the painting we did on, I think, 39 miles of road that was armor-coated this spring for amount of $37,344.
Do you have a claim in there, too, though? I thought we had part of a claim for that box culvert or not. The 180.
I don't.
Did you read that one? I missed it then.
Well, just a minute.
The 187,000. That's the one on Ellis Road.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I missed it. Yeah. Folkscape Incorporated, the pay application for project C341024 for $181,867. This is the first payment, or most of the payment, for the box culvert going in north of Ellis, and
yeah.
Well, we'll give a report on that later on.
So if you take that and that amount and then the transfer, then that it gives a better explanation of why we were at $1.2 million this.
I missed it, Myra. I'm sorry.
So, well, I didn't know if I heard it or not, so I didn't think. But I knew that claim had come in or whatever. So. We will be talking about the budget a little bit later and stuff and run the agenda. So we did have an insurance meeting with employees last
Friday.
Had one in the morning, one in the afternoon out at Risky's. And there were a couple questions. I know there was one guy in the morning meeting there when Danny and I were there that had some issues with how long it took for the claims to get paid or whatever. So that's why we have the meeting, so that they can visit with Amber and Lowell and them and get some help.
The meeting went very well. The explanation was done very professionally, very well, and I think people that were there got information that they were interested in.
Well, if not, they got the packet. Everybody should have got their packet and stuff, and they have a certain amount of time to sign up. But then also they got the contact numbers in there for them, too. So that's make that available so that they know they can, if they're having some issues, they can get some help. So
it was very good.
Human resource employees relations.
We're in the process of scheduling interviews for the emergency manager position. That's it.
Okay. Law enforcement emergency management.
You stole my fire.
John took your thunder, didn't he?
Now I was going to say that I did work on a little bit of a rain shower out here so that we were maybe one less emergency problem next Monday when we have all these people out in the prairie looking at, with their cigarettes and everything else. So hopefully now, this rain is going to be a good thing. So,
so we'll.
And now as long as we got a clear day on Monday, Everything should be ready to roll for that. Other than that, emergency management don't really have a whole lot. We are, as John said, you can't just hand me something and expect me to be ready to talk about it.
Joe brought that up. Mm-hmm. At last.
Okay. So we do have a disaster declaration on the on the severe storms from June 12th through the 17th. Okay.
Did you get an email on that, Galen? No? Just our emergency manager and probably did. Did you get one or no?
No, he just brought that up.
He just brought that up? Okay.
To our office, so gave it to me.
Okay.
Because I thought last week or maybe early this week I saw a little something in the paper about the governor approving that or something.
Yeah.
And stuff, so, yeah.
We should have some money coming if we can.
Well, there were reports filled out and stuff like that, so, yeah, we'll see what ends up or whatever, so, yeah.
We'll have to get everything put together and see what's available.
Received August 9th or whatever, so, yeah, well, there's one more report here. It looks like it's going to have to be filled out, so.
Give the information for the part for the grant. I sent that to her yesterday for what Tim's payroll and things
MPG.
That she needs. That
okay. MPG
so
grant.
So hopefully that's all the information she needs. If not, she'll get back with me because that has to be completed by the end of August.
Yes, because the one year we didn't get it in time and didn't get part of the allocation.
As far as law enforcement goes, Gus wasn't here Monday, so I guess, Gus, if you got something you want to talk about, let's go ahead and hit it now.
Just a couple things here. We updated the interlocal agreement between Homestead Monument and ourselves, and that should be on file as of today. I think Don, they checked, and they had it over there. So, and County Attorney's Office had signed off on it earlier, so that's up to date for us. We're progressing along on a solar eclipse. We've been having meetings, seems like forever, all the time. And then we'll start, I think it's Friday, doing about two or three briefings every day through Monday. And I think most of the resources from the federal side start coming in Thursday night and Friday morning to start helping out there. Again, he's got the posts up on some of the roads, and then I think signs go up today on those for parking. And hopefully that'll be something we deal with down the road. Not too bad, but we'll just wait and see how it goes. We hear all kinds of numbers, all kinds of rumors. Highway 4 was closed, and yeah, it's just been, it'll be interesting, to say the least.
The good thing is, Gus, come Monday night, it'll be done.
I hope. I certainly
reports
hope.
Reports come in on Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Reports do, but
yeah.
But Monday afternoon, the eclipse is going to happen.
Yeah, so it is.
Like they're going to delay it a week.
Well, somebody called and wanted to know why we're having it on Monday, and that's just the way the whole time's been going for me. So we're moving some out of the jail. We had, around 50 or a little bit over. Anyway, trying to get a few cells for any customers might have through the weekend, which you don't know what you're going to have, but we're going to have extra room. We have some going to Dawson now. They're open up again a little bit, so they're going to come get some. We've got a van load going to Butler County, I think it is. So hopefully we'll get some room if we have any expansion there for the weekend. Our jail inspections this week, and I think they're today or tomorrow. And we passed our fire marshal inspection last week. So I need that in advance of inspection for the jail. So we're moving along there, I guess, pretty much. So
did I hear you say we're still at that 50 roughly number, or at least that many? We haven't, in other words, it hasn't gone down.
You see any dropping off anytime soon?
Yeah, that's...
I don't, because honestly, Eric, other jails are having the same problems. I'm having a hard time finding a place to take them. I was really ecstatic that Dawson's down a bit because they transport fourth because they go federal court in Lincoln. So I'm going to have a meeting with Washington County, Kansas, and run a proposal by them, and they're saying arrested, at least talking to me about guaranteeing some beds.
Well, see, Lincoln has been having a terrible problem as well.
They don't have room. No, it's... It's all over. I get further and further out. That's why I put in the budget in their van, because I can't do it with one anymore. It's just going to be too much. So it's starting to happen to other jails, too. You know, and if I take room beds down there, then he'll be all full up with my people because he's not as big as I am. So it's a constant battle for everybody. But so that's kind of where we're at on things right now. So nothing really else to report.
Yes, I did read what you put on the website, or Klaus put on the website, and appreciated getting on there. I think there should be a caution about the gravel roads are not stop sign protected at the intersections. people need to...
Well, some are and some aren't.
Some are and some aren't. Yeah. They got to assume they're not.
And you're going to have people coming from everywhere. You know, now yesterday they tell us they have media coming from Europe, apparently. All the news outlets, national ones are going to come down to their morning shows, apparently, on Monday. So they promised me at the homestead, and I haven't really seen the map yet, they're going to have a staging area for all media to do their thing. So it's going to be, I think, a nightmare myself, but we'll have to see how it goes. Only got so many resources and do best we can. I know I talked to Seward County Sheriff's Office Mounted Policy yesterday. They're going to have anywhere from 2 to 10 each day out there for me, which is going to help a bunch on the parking. That's my main concern right now. They're going to have a contingency of park rangers on the park itself. Our concern would be the perimeter out there and how to handle it. I know they got food vendors coming from Denver, I guess they say, to come out and set up. So it's going to be certainly once in a lifetime for everybody, I think. So
it'll be a real challenge, but let's think about the positive for our community, for Gage County in Nebraska. The number of people that are coming, the sales taxes, the taxes from staying in our hotels and motels that we will appreciate. And we very much are wanting those people to be safe and travel safe, and we want them to feel comfortable while they're here. But it will be a challenge, but our businesses will see a real positive.
The thing that was interesting is they say when you Google up Homestead, that takes you around Beatrice on all paved road now. And so we're gearing up for a lot of the stuff coming around on south of 89th and coming in. I didn't realize it does that, but Mark said that when they Google up, he's told all the time that it takes you on that road around. It's quicker route.
On Hickory Road and stuff. Yeah. So some of them coming from the north, hopefully that will help with traffic.
I'm hoping that'll eliminate a little bit of it. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. So.
And
Are they planning on utilizing that rock parking lot of Coke Nitrogen's out there?
Well, I brought it up because that's one thing Mark's really getting concerned about. They're going to have around 50 buses, both touring and school buses and a shuttle. And I think right now the plan was they're going to put some at Mennonite Church parking lot. Overflow is going to go to ESU 5. Now, they have not addressed anything at the parking lot west of Coke. Coke is going to quit doing transports that day for us, I've been told. There'll be an operation when I'm doing transport, so that'll help having truck traffic not back and forth. And then from there, you know, the fairground is going to be where we're really pushing people to go. We've got three board sign from the state. We're going to have, I think, one on West Court by Casey. And then we're going to have the fair board's ribbon sign there on Logan and West Court. And then we're going to put one or two out of a homestead. So hopefully we can get direct traffic as much as we can over to the parking area over there at the fairgrounds. When that's full, then it's going to be fun. That's why I'm trying to really get a handle on the county roads and do what we can there. So
I presume the Beatrice Police Department is cooperating and helping us get these set up.
Well, Bruce has, I think he said he had one extra shift coming on, and then he thinks he can handle it pretty well. So I really don't know, Denny, on that. We had meetings yesterday, everybody, and they're going to have someone out here, I think, on 4136 if it gets to be a problem to manually control a stoplight, light there, because it's a problem sometimes to move traffic along. So he's doing his thing in town, and hopefully it's whatever they've got planned will work out, and I deal with everything else. So, and I know it's going to be quite a group out there at the fairgrounds itself. They're going to have two or three vendors out there, and tons of camping already, I think Lisa said. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting, to say the least. So patrol said they'll maybe have two or three for me. They're going to concentrate more on 77. I said I'm going to have somebody out on 4 because I'm not going to have time to deal with 4. I'm going to be fighting the county roads all the time probably. So we'll see how that goes. But they said they'd give 2 or 3. So
if you need a utility vehicle, I still have one you can use.
We might. I'll give you a call here today or tomorrow because everybody got snatched up from everybody else. I think Homestead got 6, and I can't get from one other person in town because the death they had over at Hebron was one of his rigs, and so now he just doesn't feel comfortable doing that, and I certainly understand that. So we'll have R2s, so hopefully. I'm going to need about 4 to 6, so.
I might have a couple for you. Let me know, and I'll see what I can find.
Yeah, I'll give you a call here today or tomorrow and let you know for sure, so. Very good. All right, thank you.
Let's finish committee reports first, Road and Bridge.
Okay. Dirt crew's been cleaning out ditches at the Hoyg Road and culverts along there. They were all silted in and right around the coke plant, basically, and in through there, and there's an entrance being provided to coke, or they're paying for it. I don't know where that's at.
Well, it would have been the old 89th Road,
right,
that we basically gave or allocated. Part of the switch was they got the old 89th Road. They're wanting to make that an entrance, but in part of that, then Galen's visit with them, they're going to install new culverts there and stuff. So to make
and so the ditches were
point.
Fairly flat through there.
Yeah.
And that anyway, they're being cleaned out or have been or
the Hickory Road that we knew that part of the culvert that part of the ditches and stuff, there were some issues kind of, and then as that was done and stuff, we've had a time or two. Galen's been out there when we had rain, and it's not handled the flow and stuff. So that they've been out there cleaning out the ditches and making them so hopefully it'll handle the flow better. Is that about right, Galen? Or,
right.
Yeah.
Asphalt crew's been working around, but most of it's Claytonia North. Bridge crew unloaded twin 84 culverts on East 12 Island Grove. These are those part of those five we approved this spring. This is the next one in line. I've had comments on far as gravel material from two different officials from townships that have been pleased with the material we've been getting. That's a good thing. That township material progressing real well. I think, Galen, do we have one left for spring or two, or what is it?
We gave out the last one last week.
Right. So that basically shortly should be done, spring allocations. Box culvert north of Ellis. Galen, I just talked to him about it this morning. Probably be a couple weeks yet. They're still filling, and they're waiting on a culvert to be installed there. Galen's come up with a little better, maybe a letter as far as trees and brush roadside. It's got we'll see if it helps, but there's constant complaints on trees in right-of-ways. As we talked about before, Galen's been working on no parking signs around the homestead. And last but not least, Mr. Dorn has an email back from the railroad that said it's scheduled for September to put the crossing in. We don't know what year yet, but it's September.
Thank you. Thank you.
Waited all year, and now we're going to do it in the middle of harvest.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Go ahead, Myron.
Yeah. We do have the email that says that's when it's scheduled. That's all I'll say. We'll see when it gets done, Gary. Anything else for Road and Bridge? Just so everybody, I think, too, you know, there's quite a few offices Monday going to be closed here in the courthouse. Courthouse is open. Galen has told us that the crews won't be hauling any rock, gravel. Most of the crews, we're not going to have trucks and stuff out in the road either and stuff. Mainly, I guess, to see if they need help with issues arising from the eclipse. So they're going to handle that and stuff. So I know Dave's visited with him about maybe some help up here even and stuff. So, but most of the crews are not going to be you will be open down there.
Yes, but everybody will be in the shop or the outside.
Yeah. Basically trying to eliminate the issue of having them out and about and creating more traffic or whatever. So anything else for Road and Bridge? And we have a public hearing at 9:30, so we'll wait with that. I think we'll go into recess on our board meeting here, our supervisors meeting at 9:12 on the clock, and we'll go back into equalization. We're in recess that, so at 9:12 on the clock, we'll reconvene equalization.
now go equalization.
9:12 on the clock. We will reconvene equalization. Things we had to handle there in equalization. Mr. Mainz is here now to have some discussion with us on that. And back in our agenda, it's approve or disapprove County Assessor's recommendation of rejection of homestead exemption for Daniel Mainz. And we will have Patty first. No, just a minute. Patty's going to explain what's going on here, and then we'll have you come up and talk. So just hold on a minute.
Okay, basically this is a homestead exemption for Daniel A. Mainz, and his temporary address is 1013 Carlisle Street, Beatrice, and it's the East 60 feet of lot 7 and 8, block 52, Beatrice Original. And the biggest problem with this one is that the box is checked, you currently occupy this residence, and he's checked no one here. And I'll let you explain to him he can explain to you guys why.
But to qualify for homestead exemption,
you must be owner of record and living there.
You must be the owner of record and occupying.
Yes.
That.
And this
dwelling.
Is a different circumstance, so Dan okay. can.
Okay, Dan, now come on up, and we need to
cut over to Roger Harris.
Don said we need to swear you in here once, Dan.
Supposedly they denied me.
Oh, Dan. Is this a public hearing? No.
It is for him. Not a public, but it's a hearing.
Hearing for you.
Him.
So we need you to give your name and your address.
Okay. Name is Daniel A. Mainz. Currently, temporarily reside at 1013 Carlisle.
Beatrice.
Here in Beatrice, yeah.
Okay. Now, raise your right hand.
Okay, sure.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. One thing, as far as due process, I was waiting for a notice so my attorney could come down there and help me explain what's going on with this thing, but apparently you guys phoned me.
Dan, that's my fault. I had been out sick. I thought about calling you several times to tell you it was on this agenda. I forgot. I was out. So
well,
I'm
anyway,
sorry.
Terry Barber, my attorney, is not here. Now, really irritated on that. Since Roger's here for the county.
What do you want to continue it?
Yeah. You want to continue it for 2 weeks?
Well.
Can we do that, Patty?
Unless you grant me this.
No, we can continue. We can have you on the agenda in 2 weeks, which is August 30th.
I know what Terry Barber's schedule is.
Well, that's up to you. You've got to arrange it with your attorney.
You've got to arrange it with your attorney.
That's up to you. If we give you an extra 2 weeks, that's a lot of time to get it arranged.
Still,
well, I don't know what
we will hold it. Hold it. We're not having
another attorney.
Okay, just a minute. Just a minute. We're not having a Board of Equalization on the 30th.
Oh.
Because Patty's not here. Then our next one is September 13th. Okay. Is that still enough time?
And he can I mean, he's already put in his.
Yes, appeal.
As long as he filed an appeal within 30 days, which he did.
And he filed the appeal. So we could do that September 13th.
All Ms. Barber said, once I gained homestead, I don't lose it. Going by what he said and the situation where what I'm in. Okay. He don't know what's going on.
Okay, it doesn't say. I wonder if they said. Yeah, I didn't know. We had to hear it.
You want to continue it, and if not,
this is up to you whether you want to continue it or whether you want to basically
get this thing over with.
You want to get it over with. If you want,
I want my home is exempt.
But if you want your attorney here, then we need to continue it till September 13th.
If not needed, no. But if we have to, we'll pursue this. No, I'm sure Eric. Last time he listened to me out. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Last time, I protested. You listened to me out, and it isn't good. But what Terry told me that I shouldn't be, lose this homestead exempt.
Okay. Just make sure if he wants to continue, he can go ahead and testify.
Yeah, if you want to continue this, if you want your attorney here, we'll continue this till September 13th. We'll put you on the September 13th.
Well, we'll see if we can make it.
Okay, let's do that. Why don't we do that?
Write down those dates, and I'll present that to Terry.
Okay, September 13th at 8:45.
And you will be here
8:30. Oh, yes.
Assessor's workshop the last time that.
Dan, if Mr. Barber can't make it that date, he should contact Dawn immediately.
Okay. I'll personally.
Because she has to work the agendas.
Yep. Yes, I will. Right.
Okay, thank you.
And again, Dan, I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, bam.
Yeah, well, I told her to give you a call this morning because I just realized.
That happens.
Nope. Here you go. That's the date and the time, and I wrote on there, we'll put you on the agenda at 8:30, okay? And if that doesn't work, then you get a hold of the clerk's office here and let them know, and we can schedule it for a later meeting.
Well, why they didn't turn me down because I wasn't living. I can't live because I've been condemned.
Let's wait until you have your Mr. Barber or whoever here and stuff.
So.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Okay, now we will. You ready to end Board of Equalization at 9:19 on the clock?
It's only at 2,000 on his house.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
19:00.
That was September 13th.
That's who we're dealing with.
Anyway, he's paying.
September 13th. He will be on the agenda.
Go ahead and adjourn.
We adjourned Board of Equalization at 9:19 on the clock. Okay, now we're ready. Now we're ready to come out of recess for our Board of Supervisors meeting at 9:19 on the clock.
He doesn't want to pay for
that. So our public hearing's at 9:30, so we're not into that. Okay. And Diode's, Dave's not. Diode is here.
That's probably more than an 11-minute thing.
Okay, and just we'll have you say who you are, but just so you know, we at 9:30 we have a timed event. We have a public hearing. We'll go as long as we can.
Okay.
If we're not done by then, we'll just have to recess you and have you come back.
Sounds
so
perfect.
Since we have a timed event, but we need your name and address. And
okay, my name is Jeremiah Dirksen. My company is Diode Technologies, 300 Commercial Street, Dillard, Nebraska. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. Today we're here, I think, to talk to you guys about the camera system and possibly telephone system.
Yes.
Does that sound right? So we want to start telephone or cameras?
Cameras can go first.
Okay. You want to pass with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I've worked up after talking with Dave is some proposal for the camera system upgrade here at the courthouse. What you guys currently have now is a milestone system that's basically not able to get the updates, and the cameras that we can add to the milestone system are very, very expensive. Every time they do that, you guys have to add a license, and it ends up costing thousands to add one camera. So what we're proposing is I did some different options on the estimate that Dave's going to hand out to you guys so you guys can see a lot of different options. Okay. Right now we're figuring that you guys have about 32 cameras in your in your current facility. And so what I have put together is there's different options. So one is for a 32-port recorder, another is for a 64-port recorder, and then if you look in the outline that Dave's going to hand out, it will show you also options for adding one 2-megapixel camera, adding one 4-megapixel camera, and then a final option of replacing every camera that you guys have. Because currently, all the new cameras will not go on the milestone system, and vice versa. The old cameras you have don't go on a new system. So the two options you really guys have, you know, that I've... Oh, go ahead.
No, explain that. I mean, the cameras
so,
we...
So what happens is there's a technology out there now called ONVIV. So ONVIV is kind of like a communication mechanism that IP cameras have with IP systems. Okay, your guys' older cameras don't have ONVIV compliancy in them just because they're older, right? If they're newer, like all the new ones you get, those cameras could come from there right to our camera recorder. Because our recorder takes on ONVIV cameras, and our cameras can go on ONVIV recorders. But the current system you guys have is just different that way. All of our system has 10-year warranty. That's why I'm proposing the systems that I'm putting in. The hard drives are 3 years. But the real decisions on there is we talked about two ways to do it. Way one is we could put a recorder in there next to your current one, and as your cameras break or need replacing, then we'll move them over to the new system. The other option is, and if you see in the bottom line item, they show in there replacing all the cameras. It's just in the location section. I wasn't sure how to show it, so I'm just trying to give you guys lots of options to look at. You guys all see the kind of different layout on how we have it. The nice thing about the recorders that I've put in there, they are able to take on the new 4K cameras. So how cameras are laid out now is they're laid out like by megapixels, so 2 megapixel, 4 megapixel on up. For outdoor cameras now, we've started to put in 8 megapixel cameras, which is actually a 4K image. And what that gives you the ability to do is zoom in really well. I know one thing we don't have a lot here is outdoor cameras. And so we've talked about that in the future, and this recorder would give you more basically power to run those cameras. And so I can go back and make edits to it if you guys give some direction on what you guys are thinking, but I was just trying to put lots of options in there. So the only,
this is equipment and installation,
yeah,
and everything.
Everything's with, we have a new program, it's kind of annoying. It puts, and I can break it out if you guys want to see price of equipment and labor, but it is all in there. We're not trying to hide anything. It's just our new program is.
What would the 8 megapixel camera cost?
So an 8 megapixel camera, they run about $750 for the camera.
The only thing I wonder is the Sheriff's Department uses that.
They have a PTZ.
Yeah, I wondered if all the cameras would be replaced, if that would be the place to put that for looking around on the outside of the building.
What I would do, you could do that. Like, they have a PTZ. We have a really good PTZ, so pan-tilt zoom cameras that are more HD quality than that one that's up there now. We even have some new cameras that are all-inclusive cameras. So basically, they have 2 cameras on them, and they can see every orbital direction. And so we've seen some pretty cool use of that. We actually use those and tie them to a pan-tilt zoom. So if they see an activity, like they're looking every direction, right? This camera is kind of looking 360 degrees. And if it sees any activity, it can actually tell the pan-tilt zoom camera to come look at it closer. I mean, so there's some different options there. But an 8-megapixel cameras are nice outside because you have a long zoom. What I'm recommending if you do upgrade all of your cameras is that about 25 of them we could keep at 2 megapixels because that'll be a lot better than what you have today, and they're smaller area cameras, so we don't need as much zoom. For example, this room, we don't need a lot of zoom because it's pretty small. Some of the bigger areas, I recommended the 4 megapixel cameras because they give us 2 times the zoom. That's kind of what we put together on that. Anybody has questions on how it's laid out? The total is kind of not right because it's adding up all the.
It's adding up all of them. That was my question,
yeah.
I guess.
I didn't know how to show it the best. Right. I wanted to give you guys at least some ideas.
Well, you're breaking down each of them on, I call it page 3 there. It's the storage unit, which if we went to the different cameras, we would need the different unit downstairs or whatever. And then after that, then you also list if we want the 64 or the 32 and the difference in price.
Yep.
But then you list each camera, what they cost, too, and stuff. So
I try to give as much information. I'm trying to make it too confusing, but
yeah,
kind of hard sometimes. And then we'll definitely buy back. We bought a couple cameras that you could put on this system that we have kind of talked about in the past, and we're going to just go ahead and buy those back.
And that's how this started, was our milestone system now that we have. We had one camera broke, and we wanted to add another one to the DMV downstairs. Mm-hmm. Found out that that they don't even make that camera anymore. We needed to upgrade our system to let that camera work, and so that's when we decided we should just, you know, start switching over either partially or completely. Because as of now, the cameras we have, the new ones we have, we would have had to update, which that is an expensive process also to update what we have. So.
Well, the other time we had the people down or whatever to talk about this, we realized that our system's basically more than outdated.
Yeah, Milestone just got bought out, too, so I don't know what that puts for their future.
Yeah.
That's what's a little bit different than our system. So Milestone was a lot based on licensing. Okay, so like that's the boat you guys are kind of in. Every camera you have to add a license and then a camera before you get the camera in. So our system, if it says 64, it says 64. Now, some of that's based on 2 megapixels of cameras and horsepower, right? So sometimes like an 8-megapixel camera can kind of take up the horsepower of 2 cameras, if that makes sense. So those are some of the things to watch out for. You know, I like the 64-port unit is a little cheaper than buying 2 32s. You know, you hate to put a 32 in and then be full already. But, I mean, I just wanted to at least show you guys that option. If you're going to do it slowly, then it's not a big deal. But if all of a sudden the milestone crashes, then we'll have to figure something out. And we had tried taking your old cameras, and we actually worked with our manufacturer to see if there was a hope and a way that we could get them on the system, because that's what we would hope for. That'd be the best-case scenario. But we just couldn't get – they're just not ONVIV compliant. So,
how many cameras do we have right now, Dave?
30. I think we would like to get 31 when we were trying to replace the one at the DMV area. And since then, we had one break, and since we were talking about this proposal, we had another one go down.
But to get by right now, Dave, you're just swapping them out, basically, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, we took one. One area
that maybe not quite as important to have and put it there. So I mean, to get by. So, but I know we've talked about this before, upgrading.
Jeremiah, is this correct? The 64 port has half the storage of the 32.
So on storage, what my goal is actually, if you guys end up, the reason I just have that much storage on there is because if we start migrating them one at a time, we don't need as much storage. But if we do a full overhaul and upgrade, we should be able to take the hard drives out of your current system and put them in the new one.
So we'd end up with more storage. It'd be 24 terabytes on the system, and then you'd take the
minimum. And I would try to take all of your other storage off your server, because they're hard drives, so we should be able to move them over. So okay.
If we did that, would it be substantially cheaper?
It's not going to be substantially cheaper, but it could decrease. If we can reuse all your hard drives, then we can get rid of, you know, you're talking, you know, maybe $1,000 cheaper. It's hard to say how many of the hard drives are good, too.
Or just integrate that in, because I was just looking on the 32, there's 48 terabytes. Well, if there's only 24 in the 64.
Some of that is kind of capacity on there. I think they're both rated with 8 terabytes is what we'd start with.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm sorry. Some of it's some different capacity numbers. I don't know why that's in there.
Maybe I read that wrong. I was just reading that. I assumed TB was terabyte. Maybe not.
4 in the 32.
Okay, so I have 8 terabyte in the 32, and I had 24 terabyte in the 64.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I just have a little bit more in the 64, because that would almost indicate to me that you're upgrading all the cameras. So
you don't have a 48 TBs in. Here it says 48 terabytes.
It does?
On the 32 port.
Maybe
yeah.
I read that wrong, but that's what I was reading.
Oh, that's 48. That's what he's looking at and asks those questions.
I don't know why that.
So it's the 8.
That's
not
my fault there. It's the 8.
Not the 48, because that's where when you said 8, yeah.
I don't know where that got put in there. So I'll have to, that's tight.
So what's that do to the price?
It's 8 terabyte is what I've quoted for it.
All smoke and mirrors.
It's terabytes. And
I'm sorry.
The second one there is 24.
But we actually could get away with no terabytes potentially, because we could use all your hard drives. And then that would cut that price. I'm sorry about that.
That's only $1,000 if we don't do that.
Well, it's just hard drive space. So hard drives aren't very expensive now. You can get a.
What are you charging us for?
The recorder.
Okay.
The recorder is what costs.
I'm not understanding this at all.
Okay.
What costs us and what doesn't cost us, and what we eliminate and what we don't eliminate.
So how the camera system works is there's a box, and that box is where all the. You guys, is it 9:30?
Yeah, we have, it's 9:31. Okay. We'll have you guys just sit down for a little
that
bit.
That sounds good.
I don't think it should take too long for our public hearing, but we do have a scheduled event at 9:30. And, don't you guys leave.
Making a presentation.
Have a 9:30 public hearing to hear support and opposition, special use permit 2017-4. Expansion of a livestock facility located in Northwest 4th of Section 16, Hanover Township. And it's entertain a motion to go into public hearing at 9:32 on the clock.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Tima. And vote. 6-0 in favor. And this is for, everybody should have got a sheet, but this is Kurt. If you want to come on up. Oh. If anybody else is here for this, if there's a sign-up sheet over there on the table, they can sign in. Otherwise, this, you want to talk a little bit, Kurt, about somewhere, I know we have a sheet of it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Well, just a minute. We're going to have Roger read in first.
Just for the record, Ms. Shuck, who is the attorney that handles the zoning commission, is in court this morning, and Nancy's not here either, so I said I could cover this one. I would ask you to receive and place on file for purposes of the public hearing the findings of the Planning Commission facts, which are you've been circulated, and I don't know if you want to mark that or how you want to do that. But
we'll enter it as record.
Okay. And there's also a letter which was submitted to the commission by Stan Miller, who is a neighbor. I would also ask that that be received and placed on record as well, since Mr. Miller couldn't be here today. Basically, in brief, as I understand this, Mr. Wallman's proposing to replace a animal unit barn, which he has already in place. He basically gone around and spoke with all his neighbors. There was nobody appeared at the commission in opposition. As you note, the commission acknowledged the 7 guidelines, which you'll be applying today in 6.2. They emphasized it was not a change in classification. So basically, he's replacing a barn with another barn. This would have very limited impact since this is an AG1 district. There was no opposition verified. I told Meyer, and I probably wouldn't do this, but I can't resist. I ask you to look at the last paragraph of Mr. Miller's letter. And I think Mr. Miller has a very astute understanding of our comprehensive plan here in Gage County. I don't know if any of you know Stan and his wife.
Yep.
Wonderful people. They see the big picture of life. So with that, I would ask you to receive those. If you have any questions, I'll try and answer them. But I think Mr. Wallman can certainly give you any details that you may need.
And the letter from Stan Miller is in support of this project.
Right. Yes, I ask that be received also.
Do we need to do anything to put those on record?
Nope. Dawn will. They'll be entered as record as exhibits for the public hearing. So go ahead, Kurt, and explain what you're...
Well, basically, what Roger we're just replacing the 500-head barn, tearing it down, and putting a new 1,200-head up, just to make it expansive for me and my boy to come back into the farm a little more. And it'll be right beside my other 1,000-head that's basically the same barn. So I'd be going from just increasing my number 700-head. And like you said, I talked to my neighbors, and they all agreed that that was fine. But it's about the identical barn as what I've got, maybe a little bit different since of new technology. But otherwise, it's all basically pretty much what Roger said, just tearing down the old one and putting up a new one.
And so the location hasn't changed?
No, it's going to be in the same spot.
As Nancy, I know Nancy and you and I have visited and everything. The reason you're having to come through the public hearing is because the animal units now went up, or they changed enough so that because of that, then we have to have a public hearing special use permit because of the animal unit numbers.
The setback, because of the way it was and the more animal units.
Yep.
It pushed it. It was just barely in there. So,
barely
but
in there.
That's
so that in
our
current zoning regulations, that then requires a special use permit to go through this process to do what you're wanting to do. Any other questions for Kurt? Go ahead.
No, I just got a comment. Kurt has done what makes this process go better in talking to his neighbors. You know.
Yes.
That's a big difference. We thank you for that.
Yes.
That's tremendous. Very, very good.
Thank you for doing your...
Thanks for telling me, Mark.
No,
it helped it out there.
Well,
yep.
I think he does a good job of managing, and I'll just say he went about this, like John said, the right way.
Absolutely.
So, Terry, I just want to make a comment. Planning and zoning approve this 5-0.
5-0.
There's only one negative that you have. You should be working out with an N on it rather than a KC.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, just so you know that.
Yeah, Mary.
Looked like his closest neighbor was Luane, so I talked to him, and he said he echoed the same thing. Well run, doesn't see a problem with it. I mean, that's good. If your neighbors are on your side, that makes the whole issue easier.
Thank you. Any more questions or comments for the public hearing? Not at entertain a motion to close the public hearing at 9:37 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Byers. Vote 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Kurt. Right. Now, I'll make a comment. I know we've talked quite a bit about. Normally, we always wait 2 weeks. I see Terry shaking his head. When we started waiting 2 weeks, we started waiting, and I've talked to Don quite a bit about this. We started waiting because a lot of times in public hearing, we'll have information come forward that we want to check out before we vote. In my opinion, when we have some of these like this, that we don't have any different information, we have all the information, in my opinion, we should be going ahead and voting on these. In my opinion, we should, if we have information that comes forward at that time, we should request to delay it 2 weeks, the vote, instead of always automatically delaying it. Because we've had this, we're going to have another house come up here in a couple weeks, too, that the only thing we're doing is just delaying approving it for 2 weeks. Now, if I'll just say this, if anybody wants to delay it 2 weeks, more than open to that, we sure can. But I think we should go ahead and vote on some of these. What?
We can't vote on this one today.
We can't vote on this one because we don't have it on the agenda. So we have to vote on yours in 2 weeks.
We can make an amendment to the agenda.
Because, again, it's simply your protocol. You can adjust your protocol anytime you want.
Last time
simple
I wanted
majority
to do
is all you
everybody
do.
Voted against me. But
Kurt, are your contractors wanting to get started? Or
no, I'm still waiting for DEQ from them.
So you're fine for 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I think in the future that is a discussion we could have.
I think that's a discussion we should have because we've had some houses, too, that come up that they've been very, very much in support of those. So I think when we have those public hearings, somebody should request or this board should vote to or decide to wait 2 weeks.
You could just put it on the agenda.
That's what I was going to say. Can
and
I
then just simply say, we're not ready to take this item up.
Okay.
You know, one person, actually you'd have to have two probably to move and second it. And then you could just
vote whether or not to delay
it. Just table it for the next meeting, which would be 2 weeks. Or whatever you want.
Gary?
I disagree.
Good.
Just like Kurt, normally it's not a rush to get going on something. And it gives everybody that 2 weeks time. You know, maybe there was somebody that wasn't here today that would either support or oppose what Kurt's talking about doing. By giving that extra 2 weeks, You just give everybody a chance to have that cool down period and a chance to talk about it, research it, whatever. We all realize, for the most part, anybody that has something they want to say about this should be here today. It shouldn't be. I mean, no matter what's going on in your day, if it's that important to you, you should be here today. But I really just don't see a reason that the 2 week cooling off period or research period. I don't see it as being a big deal, and I don't think we should change what we're doing. I think it was a good move when we went to it.
Can anybody talk about this in 2 weeks, though, anyway?
In public comment, they can come and talk about it. We won't have another public hearing. But in public comment, anybody can talk about it. Well, anybody, what Gary said, anybody can contact any of us and visit about it, too. So,
Myron?
During the 2 weeks.
I guess I disagree. I mean, the first planning and zoning hearing was on July 11th. Okay, everybody should have had ample opportunity then. It's already August already. To me, for efficiency, you do what we talked about. If there's no opposition, this is a no-brainer. Why drag it out and have more records, more bookkeeping, more everything else? Vote on the damn thing and have it over with.
I actually have the resolution across the hall if you want to change your process today. So, Helen gave it to you.
But it wasn't on the agenda.
No.
I said, Kate, if you want to change the process for today,
I would just caution you from the standpoint, the agenda's,
right.
We can adjust that in an emergency. Mr. Wallman said, I got two contractors that I'm going to lose, you know, because they're ready to start building tomorrow. Well, it's going to rain. But You know, that would be an emergency, but even then, we had one of those come up, and we talked about that. Yeah. And I think Gary asked him the question, and he said, all right, we can work around that. So the other thing is it gives the public plenty of notice that we're going to examine our protocol. And in the future, don't rely on the fact you may get another 2 weeks to get back to us. Because, again, as an attorney, I can tell you, people procrastinate, and lawyers are famous for it. So, yeah.
Let's never forget the devil is in the details, and I think we should.
And I think today we won't vote on it. We'll vote in 2 weeks, Kurt,
okay,
and stuff. So, but I think that's – sorry about bringing into that conversation.
Okay.
But I think we will visit about that next meeting. So thank you much.
Thanks.
And we do have we're out of close – I mean, we're out of public hearing, right?
We did.
Well, it's 9:43 on the clock, and we have a 9:45 time event, so I don't know where the guys are from Diode, but I think we'll wait with them. No, we only got 2 minutes, so there's no need even having them come back in and start or whatever, because at 9:45 we have a timed event to close and accept and the rock bids or whatever. So
we actually talked more about how we were going to vote and when than about what we were voting on.
Then what? In Hogshead.
Yeah. Terry, what the bids?
So we'll just, we got less than, just a little bit more in a minute to wait here on the clock. It's 9:44 now, so we'll wait till 9:45 and then we're going to close and we'll close the bidding for the rock.
It's more accurate than a watch.
I've got a new one that Mark and John bought me, and I haven't gotten it working yet. They're going to teach me.
Phone and watch.
Okay.
The phone. No, I've got a new watch, too, but I'm not wearing it today.
Okay. We have 9:45 on the clock. I entertain a motion to close and accept, reject, or award the fall rock and gravel bids. So close bids. We have a motion.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Tiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor.
This first one is from Rock On Incorporated. This is just hauling material from Rock On. I'll give you the range like I normally do, anywhere from 920 per ton. These are township down to 480 per ton. That would be from the Powell pit, from the Alex pit, 1034 down to 675. And this was for hauling only, as I said. And that's basically it. Those two locations from Rock On Incorporated. This was from Rock On Incorporated again, crush rock bid. Once again, as we change it, this is for hauling or delivery cost only. This is from Sites Pit. Cost range from $275 up to $640 per ton. Weeping Water, $960 per ton, all the way to $14 per ton. Du Bois. Oh,
I might mess up on some of these, but anywhere from 760 a ton to 1185 per ton, hauling only. And that takes care of that one. This one. This is from Beatrice Sand and Gravel. This is pit price of Alexandria, 1165 per ton, and they have hauling and pit price included on this, so material and hauling range from 1815 per ton to 2230 per ton. This is from Powell Pit, 1145 per ton. Hauling included. $1,710, all the way to $2,155. This would be for rock. Pit price $1,550 per ton. That would be basically your common materials, three quarter up to, well, I guess, 3 to 5 inch. So. And delivery cost is included for that from Sites Quarry. Once again, I'll give you the, this is delivered with material. Range from $1,770 up to $2,185 per ton delivered from Sites. Gravel bids. A Sand and Gravel. Pit price $13 per ton. Bids are only good if and when we have gravel, which has been in the past. Delivered cost range from, it doesn't say the hauler, but I assume it's rock on, yes. Anywhere is from $1,660 to $2,045. Team in Construction. This is from Alex Pitt. He has the pitch price from Gage County's bid per ton, and these are hauling costs from the Alex Pitt. Prices range $709 up to $1,064 to the townships. Powell Pitt, hauling costs only. Prices range $524 per ton. up to $10.03 per ton. Once again, these are hauling cost of material, and the county's bid price is already there on the materials.
Last one?
Yep.
Last one from Rush Creek. This will be a rock bid. Crushed rock, $14.50 per ton. Screening, $5.75. Certain ones are not bid on here, but basically it's $14.50 per ton. There is a delivery cost they've included. Hauling from Rush Creek, range anywhere from $3.25 per ton for hauling rock up to $7.45 per ton. I think that's it.
That's it.
What I'd like to do is refer these to Galen and Becky to review them. I mean, it looks like some of these are scattered across the board, so I don't know if it's going to be as simple as it has been in the past, but hopefully so. If he could review those during our meeting, if Galen come up with a consensus on this, we'll go ahead and approve.
Yes.
And the simple reason why suppliers and as well as haulers, as we spoke of before, we're a township away from being caught up. And that's why we jumped this up a little bit, because we never have enough time in the fall to deliver. And hopefully this will let those people start fall delivery.
Okay.
So we'll, what do you want to say?
Well, we need
reconvene
a motion to
later on that, or
well, we need a
accept?
Motion to refer accept
okay.
them all,
I make
and then
a motion.
To refer them to Galen for review and come back at this meeting with a recommendation.
I'll make a motion to accept all bids and refer them to Galen or the Gage County Highway Department and review them, and hopefully he'll come back with a, if it's fairly clear cut, come back with a recommendation at the end of the meeting.
Do second. We have a second?
Second.
Motion by Jergen, seconded by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Okay, now somebody want to go get Dave and the Gus, you want to, or Diode out there? We'll go back to them with the cameras. Took a lunch break.
Yeah, they might have.
Okay. We'll finish the discussion with the cameras first. We did put on here approve or disapprove purchasing cameras. We did have, I think, was it two meetings ago? We had the others here, too, to talk about it. We do not need, we put that on there just in case some there's a possibility of doing that this meeting. Otherwise, we can sure wait with that. But it was put on there, so if they need to.
We're back.
Were you back? No, thank you for waiting for our delay. We had some scheduled events. So.
Oh, that's just fine.
Anything you want to say again, or otherwise any more questions or anything about the camera system, proposed camera system?
I would like to just bring up, I would like for this time to be just discussion only, and we can see exactly what we would need and bring it back in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, I think, too. I think let's bring it back. Would I'll just bring this part up. I would like a bid with the having it for 64 cameras. I don't know why, or not. Or do you think we're... Are we ever going to, I guess, maybe we should have Brian here. Are we ever going to?
I think I could speak up
okay.
to that. I think it would be nice just because we are about at our max now.
Okay.
We would always like to have, we do not have cameras outside of the courthouse besides the one on top. We'd like to have one on the east side, actually several on the east side. And, you know, maybe if we had the room and cameras are reasonable, just slowly we could add where we need
them. So if we went with a 64 one here, port or whatever, then we would have that capability yeah. of adding, which right now we're limited.
Right.
Okay, Eric.
just like other things, when you have more capacity there, does it run better when there are, if you aren't maxed out?
Like? Yeah, that's just like any electronics. I mean, it's better. You know, there's two rules of thumb. We've done it both ways. Sometimes we'll put in two 32-port recorders. You know, that costs about $1,600 more if you look at it. The nice thing about that, sometimes one would ever fail, the other one can just kind of a backup. But the 64 is nice because then they're all on one unit ready to go. But yeah, if there's only 40 cameras on the 64 unit, that is a lot more horsepower to run those other cameras.
That's what I wondered. Sometimes, if, you know, as computers get closer to volume, you know, their potential volume, they just move like snails.
Well, and hopefully any system we go with in 5 years, it's still very functional. And you got to realize we're capacity. I mean, everything's going to require more.
Yeah. I mean, and so our systems, like the cameras and the recorders, come with 10-year warranty. You know, now what I will tell you is a little bit of it's, I'm not going to call it a gimmick by the company, but because they stand behind it for 10 years. But the problem is with technology, in 10 years, the camera world's going to look a lot different.
They might not be making.
Yeah, I mean, it overlaps itself. I mean, last year we were selling 4 megapixels at our max, and now all of a sudden this year we're already at 8. You know, it's kind of how it goes. You know, we got lots of 1 megapixel cameras in the town here, you know, and that was 2 years ago. So, you know, those are things to be keep in mind. I guess that's where it's at. But that's our best. That's the best unit that we install because it has lots of horsepower.
So, Dave, then can next meeting we put it on the agenda? We'll have a proposal from him. We had the other proposal, and then we can have discussion and put on there to approve or disapprove at our next meeting. For the cameras.
Yep, I'll just edit it then for a 64, and then you want it edited to replace all 32 cameras. Or do you want multiple? I guess that's the next question is because...
What was the question?
The question was, do you guys want just a proposal that shows the 64-port recorder and then updating all the current cameras?
Or, yes.
I think that is one of the options, and, you know, other options in there, too. I mean, whatever you...
Okay.
Works
well, does it work to...
I can do is whatever, yeah.
Do one, just replacing them as they wear out, and do the other one, though. I know after our last company was down, we very much had the discussion about what's it going to cost to replace the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm getting the phones.
He only had quotes from them?
Oh, we didn't have from the company out of Omaha, though.
I do have quotes, but they did not come down for presentation.
But, I mean, we had quotes from them, yeah.
Yes. Right.
Okay. But I think we'd like...
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll get you a couple different ones.
But even with the one replacing the cameras one at a time, you want the 64-port unit.
Don't you think so? I don't see any reason to go with 32.
I agree.
So last time the question was asked, so I asked Jeremiah if this will coexist with our system, but Jeremiah did say we would need another monitor. But the computer itself, it will...
Yeah, ours just runs on a program that they could pull up. So the nice thing, too, about some of this stuff, I guess it is kind of the same program that they use over at the sheriff's office, so they could actually pull them all up on their same screen as well, I think, on the IC real time.
So they would have the capabilities of pulling up what's going on in here on that screen, you're saying?
If they wanted to, all in the same program.
All in the same program.
I mean, if you guys wanted them to, because they're... One program that IC Realtime has, you can have unlimited amount of cameras on them. And just the capacity or the hard drive, you know, as long as the computer's good to spin them, but they could pull them up on the same application on their same smartphone.
I think you have that, don't you?
Yes. So on the same smartphone capabilities and things would be tied together, basically.
Would you be able to set that up on the supervisor's phone so we could check the courthouse and the sheriff's department?
What? How should I answer? No. Yes, you can. I guess, yeah. Huh? Okay.
But Gus is telling you to answer no.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. Just for that one. Just for that phone, not the others. No. Okay. I think then we'll put it on the agenda in 2 weeks, so if he wants to come back, he sure can. Otherwise, we'll have that discussion and approve or disapprove. Okay. Then discussion of diode communication with the telephone system.
So Dave's going to be handing it out. Basically what I'm proposing is a Zoltis telephone system. So Zoltis is the same system we just got done installing at the city offices and then a bunch of other places here in town. Same system we have in our office, and it's our enterprise system, I guess. what we were able to do is the Zoltis company has kind of an upgrade program right now for existing customers. And you guys aren't our existing phone customer, but you are our existing door customer. And so we were able to work you guys in that way. And so it's kind of worked out pretty good where we would upgrade all 95 phones, and that would include here and the sheriff's office and then a couple of other locations where you guys have OPX lines that are running from here to there. So the OPX lines are the analog lines that you guys have running in the ground that I know Dave said you have some issues on. So everything in this system would go over to IP. So it would be an IP telephone system. What I put together is, A, there's a proposal in there. So the proposal shows the phone system. It shows the phones. It shows the PoE switches and everything needed for that. I also have another document that I just put together to give you guys an example of monthly costs and kind of where you're at today. Dave gave you some information that your phone bill currently runs between $3,500 to $3,000 a month right now. And so what I did is I just kind of put together a chart that showed equipment costs. If you guys look at like the Excel spreadsheet, that's kind of an easier one to follow a little bit. But it shows on there kind of the equipment costs, the warranty. So the warranty and software we can actually get to you guys for free for the first year. And then after that, we recommend it. You do not have to pay it. The nice thing about having it is your system gets updated once a year. And so that way at the end of, you know, every year, it's updated to the newest software with the new features. So we definitely recommend it. So what I showed here is I showed some monthly cost if we went through a lease option. So the lease that I put together is a dollar buyout. So at the end of the term, you give a dollar and you own the system. We can do less if you do fair market value, and that's kind of more like a rental. Typically, people after 5 years then just kind of roll into another lease and upgrade the system, but there's other options there. So the example I gave you kind of shows with the new phone system, we would encourage you guys to look towards SIP trunking. It's called SIP, and it's more trunking kind of over the internet, so it's your lines coming a different way than they do now. So today you guys have a PRI is what it's called, and that's why your phone bills are really expensive. This is an example of Diode doing everything from a new link plus the lines themselves. I was talking to Dave. Another option that I would encourage you guys to look at is talking to Charter about getting internet into here and possibly their SIP service, because it would work fine on our system and it could cost you guys a little bit less, and we would work with either one. The nice thing about our SIP trunking is in the case that any internet or network goes down, like I know, you know, Charter, Windstream, us, everybody's had cuts in their lives, right? And the internet goes down. With our service, what is pretty nice is we can actually automatically have calls rerouted. So there's nothing that even has to be done immediately. If there's a cut, the calls are actually rerouted somewhere else. So whether it's to, you know, somebody's cell phone, which isn't convenient, but it could go to like our office where we can have back. I mean, there's different things we can do automatically. But I wanted to at least show you in the breakdown that is if we did everything. And so basically, if you kind of look at the graph that I have in there, assuming that the Windstream bill is the $3,500 to $3,000, and with our managed services and the software each month, basically, I show at the bottom line, if you guys did a 24-month lease with it being $3,500, you would save $50 a month. It would cost you $1,900 if it's $3,000. And then if you look at the 36-month lease, you would save $752 if the phone bill is $3,500 right now, and $252 if it's $3,000, and so on. Does that make sense? I wasn't sure how to show it the best, but I was just trying to show that there is some savings if we go and make a change to that. So basically, if you did a 60-month lease and you did all the services through us, which, again, you can use Charter for the internet and the lines, that's fine, or Windstream for that matter. It could change the pricing a little bit. But worst-case scenario, you're going to be looking between $1,200 and almost $800 a month savings with the new phone system.
Eric, good.
When's all this fiber that I see going in? When is that actually going to be active? Do we have any idea?
I don't have any clue. There's a lot of different people doing different things. I know there's some things that we've been talking about with the city and some other companies have. It's just not a real quick, easy thing through town. I gave an example like Fairbury Courthouse. So we put this same system in at Fairbury's Courthouse quite a few years ago. But what Brad Eisenhower talked to Charter, and he told them they would do their lines and their internet, and they got them fiber to the building for basically free. So that's what I was telling Dave, and it worked out fine. And they actually had pretty good savings. And we did kind of the same thing for them. where they basically paid for the phone system because of their monthly savings.
So I just wonder, our internet reliability with some of the companies, some of the providers is less than optimal.
Right.
And if we're on IP, we're completely...
Yes, yeah. Yep. So there's some drawbacks of the case that things could go down. The benefits are the cost, you know. And so sometimes you got to kind of, you know, whatever outweighs what at that point, you know. A lot of our customers are going IP. I mean, one thing to know, anytime you pick up the phone and make a long-distance call, one way or the other, you're getting on IP telephony. I mean, all of us telephone companies are shipping all our calls the same way, you know. And so that's why, you know, if you ask me in the next 5 years, 90% of that call is going to be on that. That's why I did put on here, if you guys went with all diode, we would put a dedicated link to one of our towers that would be only for the phone lines at that point. You know, but again, we could talk about the Charter option, and the Windstream is fine too. Our phone system will work on all of it. With this system, and I can do a demo and talk about different things, but this system, you know, obviously comes with voicemail to email, desktop control. It actually comes with every single one of the users can actually put an app on their phone. So if they're mobile, they can use their mobile phone, basically connected to the system. So like Dave would have a mobile extension. So if you called him, he could answer here. He could make calls, and it would look like he's coming from the courthouse. So there's some kind of cool features. Like I said, I can give you guys a list of customers, but, you know, for sure, like the city has our system. Courthouse in Fairbury has our system. A bunch of schools and companies here in town.
It's actually a drawback, Jeremiah, because Dave already works more than he should.
Oh, so a lot of people don't love that mobile app. That's true.
But he's always clocked in when he's working.
Correct, he is.
Is there any concern, like you said, somebody can use an app off their smartphone, access a computer at the courthouse?
No, they wouldn't be accessing a computer. So there's not too many drawbacks. A few of them, there's some networking things we have to do to allow the phones to come in. But the real positive is, and we have take for example the sheriff. If let's say he's out and about and he needs to call somebody, he's like, the last thing I want to do is use my cell phone to call this person, right? Because now he's got my cell phone. Well, what's cool is you can pull up the app and you dial the person, and now it comes back using the internet to here, and it picks up one of their lines and it calls that person. So to me, for like law enforcement or anybody that doesn't want to give out their cell phone, it's huge. So we do it for a lot of doctor's offices, obviously, where they say, hey, last thing I want to do is give my cell phone out.
Right.
You know, they use this app to do those types of things.
And I assume you could transfer, like if Dawn got a call for one of us, she could transfer to.
Yeah, it actually makes your mobile phone look exactly like a desk phone. I mean, that's one of our biggest sections of our company is the phone system side. And if you had asked me in the next 5 years, I don't think we'll have phones on our desk. Because we just did a school out in Harvard, Nebraska, and the two front desk attendants, they have a Bluetooth headset to their computer, and they run every single call that comes in and out of their school with their mouse. So, like, they get a call, they click, they answer it with their headset, they transfer it using their mouse. They have phones next to their desk. And I tried to talk them out of buying them, but they wanted them for a security blanket. They haven't touched them since they put the system in. And so if you get Jefferson County Courthouse, they really took to that application as well. And so a lot of their people, their phone is actually out of reach from where they are at in their desks, and they use a headset. So there's some, again, it takes some, you know, special clients to say I don't want a phone, but if you ask me, I think it's around the corner. Because usually after I do a phone demo, I have about an hour and a half presentation I can do if you guys ever want to see that. But what happens is at the end, usually people say, why do we need a phone? And I don't have an answer for that, really. It's security and having that handheld device. But I don't know. So,
Jeremiah, one of the questions or one of the concerns I've heard is that, like Eric said, with the IP or, you know, coming in on the internet, have a big storm that comes through, you know, are the girls still going to be able to use their phones?
Yeah,
so. Is the courthouse, you know, is anybody going to, or the roads department, are they going to be connected?
So here's kind of how I kind of describe all the IP telephony. So the number one thing is inside your building, it's on your land. So your LA, so what that stands for is kind of like your own little network, right? So that we don't consider a network. So an IP phone lives. Or don't consider internet. So, right, the IP phones live inside your network. So all those calls are going directly to the box that's still on site. Okay, so if you have Charter or if you have us or whoever, the calls still come in using that internet pipe, right? But inside here, everything is secure. It's on your LAN. So it's just about as good as what you have today, where you have a digital phone, which is a wire going from that phone all the way to the phone system. Okay? Very similar to that. So inside the building, there's relatively not many issues that happen, right? Now, when you have some of those outlying locations, now the sheriff's office is fiber running across, so it's kind of like a direct line, so that's not an issue. But some of the other locations that you might have out there, is there a potential that their internet goes down and they're not getting calls? Sure. You know, that we can't 100%.
Well, and that's a huge thing, you know, with our emergency management and all of our towers and things that we're doing.
So it definitely is. So the problem is right now, the only other option you guys have is using OPX lines. And the issues that you're having with all those, the city is having the same issue where they have outlying buildings on OPX lines and they have as many troubles during storms as IP do. What's nice is when we can do some cool call rules that say, so let's say we have, give me an example, one of the locations, Well, let's just say the probation, they're looking at something a little different now, but let's just say the probation is tied to this system over the internet, right? So I go to call Jeremy over there, and his phone is down because the internet's down. I can actually have a call rule built in the system that says, if unavailable, call a cell phone. You know, and so there are some ways to go around that issue of the internet.
What are we going to have? Because probation is going to get their own phone system, I think.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll have the extension office and the highway department.
Veterans office and the sheriff's.
The sheriff's office, I wouldn't consider that.
It's extension. Sheriff's on fiber, so that's almost.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that as like.
So it'd be sheriff or extension and highway.
Highway
and veterans.
So if we would lose all, I mean, I hate to say.
Well, Galen's not in here, so go ahead and say it.
If we would lose all three of those, I mean, it's not detrimental. I mean, it's not like we'd lose them for a month. I mean, generally, if we lose service, it would be a short amount of time. The main thing is if we could function as a courthouse. I mean, if Don can't take calls, there's major issues right away, or emergency manager in the basement, if they can't get out, then that would be a big deal. But like probation, when their phones weren't working, they were using their cell phones, which I think is probably pretty common anymore.
That's what I always kind of bank on is, like, you see the cost savings. You know, that's what I always tell people. You kind of have to weigh it. You know, I can't tell you that I can say internet's never going to go down. You know, but on the same token, you know, we're a telephone company in southeast Nebraska, or in Diller. And so what I always tell people is, just like today, let's say somebody's digging down the street and cuts through your line that runs to here. Okay, how long are you out? You know, I can tell them in small town Diller where we can get to it right away and get our plows out and dig. We don't have to come from Lincoln or wherever people have to come from. You know, it's still 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, depending on how big that cable is, right? So with internet telephony right now, with the way that we can do automatic rerouting, now is it convenient if something goes down and it comes to people's cell phones? No, but you're not missing any calls, right? Because automatically, if that trunk line is stopped, the system our line provider automatically says, hey, I can't get to the city. Where is my secondary route? And so it can do that. What's really cool, too, and I always say this is, what's neat is our system in our office is inside, you know, we're in basically inside a bunker where our telephone solutions are. And if there was ever a disaster plan that needed to happen here, using our IP lines, I could actually have you guys up and going on our system in about 10 minutes. We had a customer up in Wahoo, Nebraska, a bank that burned down. I don't know if you guys saw the news here. That was one of our customers. We had a Zoltus system in there. Luckily, we had IP lines coming into there. And within 10 minutes, I had an auto attendant set up at our office in Diller telling people, sorry for the inconvenience, there was a fire at Lawley State Bank. Please leave your name and number, and those messages could be emailed to somebody. So, I mean, that's some benefits that we have with the systems that we can do, but, you know, that's just examples of the positives. And, yes, there is negatives on the internet trunking, and there's no denying that. Now, a charter service like we have at Fairbury's Courthouse, it is very similar to current landlines like you have today. They brought their fiber in, and then they break it off to a little box that provides trunks to our phone system. So now that kind of takes that whole internet thing basically away. The only negative
trunk or trunk here?
Trunks.
It's definite difference.
Oh, yeah, right. So that being said, that's more traditional, right? So it's not relying as much. It's using their fiber. Now, the negative there is if they get a cut, it takes, I can't do as much with the redundancy part because it's all on their fiber, right? And we still can do some things, but so there's all these pros and cons on all these. I mean, I can definitely here to help with all those options, and as you can see, there's lots.
And I guess one thing I wonder, you know, when you start talking over the internet, people seem to be getting better at hacking into the internet and just taking it down, yeah. And you know, the security that would be needed for like Gus's conversations and. Yeah. Is it there?
So, yeah, so it's all encrypted. Now, there has been some hacks, and you'll kind of read different things where people have been hacked. Now, phone systems get hacked a lot.
Yeah.
And how they do it is not by grabbing onto a conversation, if you will, that's going over the internet. What they do is they get into the phone system and use a backdoor to jump onto your phones and then dial out through your voicemail. It's kind of a weird way how it happens. So we turn that off, that feature off, obviously. And there is security concerns. You know, we definitely work closely with the IT and our, I mean, we're in IT, so we kind of know how to block those. Again, it is the concerning thing. But what I'll tell you, it's the same thing like every cellular call you make. It goes from here to the tower and then on fiber and then probably on internet shipping out somewhere. You know, it's kind of how everybody's transmitting things. So, yeah, that is a concern though, with all these devices. We've never had a phone system be like hacked or anything. We have had somebody dial out using voicemail. So what we usually do is turn off all international calls. Kind of the nice thing about the IP trunks that we provide, it comes with you can pay a little bit more for unlimited long distance, but we already include like 6,000 or 8,000 minutes of long distance in that.
We actually just had that happen a couple of weeks ago. They were using Treasurer's fax line, and they were making sales calls with that, and so we called Windstream, and they were able to. They can't stop it. Actually, I mean, it's not billed to us or anything. They cannot stop it, but they can make it say that it's not coming from county offices.
But no, that wasn't hacking into our system, was it? So much as like people are using
your
other
number.
People's phone numbers. They've got an app or something that they're.
You can do it. We did it. Fairbury Hospital has the same phone system, and. Just for fun, I wanted to see if Windstream would allow it. Because, see, Windstream allows you to – some companies don't allow you to change the outgoing caller ID number, but Windstream does on their system. And so I put Pizza Hut's number in there from February, called one of my guys. I mean, it's just – I was going to see if it worked, and it did. But so it's really easy. I can do it right now with about anybody from Windstream. I could send out your caller ID on any of our systems in a second.
A couple of years ago, though, didn't we get hacked into and somebody was making crazy international calls?
They probably did it through the voicemail like I was talking about. That's common.
And so that's even without IP stuff. That's with just our system the way it is now.
That's one reason people get really mad at us sometimes during the install because we require 6-digit passwords on the phones now for voicemail. That's one reason why. But most of our customers use voicemail to email, so they never get into their phone to check it. It forwards all the messages of the WAV file to email, so... But, yeah, here it's that's a common thing. We tell people we don't allow people to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 1, you know. We take all those measures to try to help with that situation.
So, Dave, we want on the agenda next week, next meeting, too, for the discussion on the phone systems. Because I know you'd like to get them upgraded or whatever.
The trouble we're having anymore is so common that the OPX lines, I just called in a work order for probation 2 weeks ago, and then they call back and they say they're doing the same thing. They were fixed for about a week, and then they go right back to it. So I know
we're having issues.
With this rain, isn't that when we always see a lot of issues, too?
Yeah. So
when will they have their own phones over there?
Well,
probation? They were talking. He said something they would know more like in September, like end of the month, maybe?
Part of what he's visited with me about is to make sure that the budget where there's so many counties here and we're all part of that budget. Yeah, the funds all go through here, but he's wanting to make sure that everybody's agreeing to pay for the increase or whatever, if there is an increase.
Another, we're doing a little something different there just to kind of, so everybody kind of knows we can do the same thing here, but it didn't come out money-wise. That's good here for there because of the amount of phones you guys have, but we're doing more of a rental situation over there because he doesn't know year to year what's going on. So and they're fluxing up and down.
But he thought there wouldn't be a lot of cost.
There isn't. No, yeah, there is not.
There wouldn't be no cost increase or whatever.
There is. So similar to you guys, there we were able to work it in kind of under their current budget, and that's what I was trying to do here.
Yeah, originally it was going to be, he was budgeting like $5,000 plus or whatever, something for it, and then but since there isn't going to maybe be a cost, then it's more just up to them when they go ahead and do it all the counties agreeing to pay X number of dollars.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah, he just said he would let me know. He said I gave him a final kind of revision so he could see what it looked like to maybe.
The last I visited with him, he sounded pretty positive, but
And that would be the same phone system as it appears. I mean, the same phone.
They're having the same thing.
Similar phones. They want
that you're proposing here.
Yeah, I put a little bit smaller phones because they were trying to cut back a little bit on some cost. And I could do that here too. I shouldn't even say this, but I have the exact phones that we have at the City of Beatrice, which I would recommend because they have all digital display and you can change buttons and things from the computer that Dave can do. We can save you guys a little bit of money with a phone that's kind of like that where you have to take out and print a strip and write in what things are. I would, if you ask me, I would recommend the ones that I've proposed, but we need to cut some more money out of it. We could look at that. And we can look at doing some of, I like the same phones everywhere because then nobody's confused when they go to whatever office to use a phone. We can mix and match if there's some places that they say this phone never gets used besides calling out an emergency. We'd be happy to look at downgrading that phone. But I guess that's my two cents there. If there is some differences that you see phone over there, it's because we're doing some different things there. We're doing some nicer phones and some lesser phones.
Okay. Kind of just jog my memory. One other concern that I've heard through different people in the courthouse. I know if you put this system in here, especially initially getting everything up to speed, you're going to have a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah.
And how are you going to handle getting everybody up to speed? And how are you going to handle anything that goes down? How are you guaranteeing us that you're going to take good care of us?
That's a great question. So what we do, and we actually started this with Jefferson Courthouse, okay? Training, we kind of used to do it a little bit on the fly and try to different things. Jefferson County Courthouse, what we did is we took 1 day, 2 days, whatever it takes. You guys are bigger, obviously, so we'd sit down with Dave or whoever's in charge of the whole installation process, and we set up a training schedule for either 1 day or 2 days, and we block out about 2 to 3 hours. And so what we do is I set up in a conference room, I set a table up, we get some laptops out, we put some phones out, and I literally go through the system, and I call Gary, and I say, Gary, you need to transfer to Don. Don, you need to transfer back to me. Okay, now we're going to do that on the computer side, those of you that are going to use it. So some users are going to want to use the computer, and some are not. So right now it's licensed for about half the people that have the ability to use the computer and half not. That's kind of what I just guessed. And if you think it's more, we should change it. But I figured about 50 people would use the computer application, and you know, like highway and veterans, I don't know, they probably just want to answer it and transfer it, right? So what we've done is we've set up training that way. It's worked really well for transition, and then we're around. So I guess we're kind of walking through the halls for the next couple of days after the install. And
when did you install the one in February?
Oh man,
how many years ago? I mean,
three maybe.
Three. Okay,
that'd be a guess.
That's fine. They've had it long enough to know whether or not it's operational.
Yeah, they've had a long time. But that was we walked in. We walked in that next day, and there was minimal questions. I was surprised. I mean, it's not always like that. You know, I was at a school. We did at Harvard School last week on Friday, and so I was there yesterday. And basically, I walked around and helped people set up their mailboxes, and I helped the ladies with their computer and their headset. And
you have an office in Beatrice?
We have an office in Diller and an office in Lincoln. And we have a building in Beatrice that one of our technicians comes out of, so... Kind of, yeah.
Your technician comes out of.
So we have a technician that's his service van is stationed in Beatrice. So he comes here, and that's where he leaves every morning.
It'd be nice if you had an office here in town.
We do have a full building right out of town. It would be. I know. But we got a building and an office. It's an office.
We'd like people in that building. We'd like people
from
Gage County who are paying taxes here.
I know.
Okay.
We have an owner paying taxes here. Does that help?
He pays a lot of taxes.
I've got a quick question for you then. Yours is just the phone system. I think you've talked about if we went your route, then we'd have to have somebody like Charter for the Internet.
necessarily.
Not necessarily. That's an option.
That's an option.
That's an option that could or may save some money. I put in everything I could control so I could give you a better, like, here's a pretty good amount that's pretty solid on there. If you did charter, it could be a little less. It could be a little bit more. And I would recommend, Dave, calling them.
That was my
myself or something, and we could.
That was my.
If you don't want me to, I don't. But
thought before our next meeting, if we at least had some idea of what, you know, they were, their proposal or what theirs would be like too. Because if you decided to go that and that way, and versus all this, or you know, however you decide,
yeah. Because I think like the city, even out at the service department, I think here about maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, they got them to I think maybe put. I don't know if it's fiber, but they got a really good deal on the internet service for a backup because we have a link shooting from one side of the town to the other. And, I mean, it still has a long link and older technology, and they had internet put in there. And I think they, you know, you got to sign a contract to all these guys, but then they'll put a lot of times put the fiber in for nothing, you know, especially if you guys talk to them about phone service and internet at that point.
Okay. We'll have you on the agenda then in 2 weeks, too. I mean, not you on the agenda. We'll have on the agenda about the phones and discuss and approve or disapprove phone system. So
I'll try and help. This stuff is way over my head.
Well, then we're on the same boat.
I'm old school.
All right.
Do you guys need, like, references or anything? I mean, I don't know if you guys want anything in the area or a list. Well,
if you have Beatrice in Jefferson County, that'll be a good reference for us.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have the old rotary dial that we could put
for you? I do. I can get you one of those. Sure. They're a little harder to get on the IT system.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming.
Thanks, Dave.
And Dave, if one other quick thing, if you need to or you need some discussion too, you could come back at committee meetings and you know that Monday before too, we could have more discussion or whatever we have then at committee meetings.
Can I ask Jeremiah one more question?
Yep.
Hey, Jeremiah. So. Kind of piggybacking off Myron's question, and I mean the different options are: is you can come in with the diode service for internet, and then that's everything's under diode. But is it feasible, or is it a good idea to look at doing the charter as maybe a backup with their fiber?
If we're going to bring charter in, it's better to have them as primary, and then maybe put us in as a backup.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I mean, I guess.
And what type of cost addition would that? It wouldn't be a whole lot of cost.
It wouldn't be a lot of cost because we wouldn't need a super circuit in there at that point. So the nice thing that there's pros and cons of both of them. The nice thing that Charter does is if they get fiber in here, that's best, right? Because we're going to have to do wireless. Okay, so that's why I do. I like the fact of fiber. I do. You know, okay. But there's a few negatives with. I don't have as much control over the failover side with Charter.
And I like that part of it.
I do, too. And now if we've set up a second link, now we can do some different things where we can say if it goes down, we can get you back up the other way. So,
well, let's kind of put this on the agenda for our committee meeting, too, so that we have in Buildings and Ground, not next Monday, the Monday after, so we at least have some of the discussion then, too, because I know some of us have more questions by then and stuff. So thank you. Thank you much.
Thanks, Jeremiah. Thanks, Dave.
Do we need Patty back here now? You want to call her or whatever?
I was going to sing a little bit. Jeremiah was a bulldog.
Next up on the agenda, receive and place on file a copy of the evaluations for the political subdivisions for 2017. And Patty did have, between Patty and Don, they did have, I think it's your call sheet. That's the, it doesn't have the 2016 to compare it to. I think, if I remember right, we'll have to ask Patty, but I think we're just a little bit less in total valuation. This is $3.228 billion, and I thought Patty said we just went down just a little bit in valuation in the county, but we'll have to wait until she gets here and then ask her.
I think I have 16s.
But this is, you might have 16s in your drawer. So, but this has the all the different entities, the cities, the townships, and the schools, what their valuations are broke out as. And we'll have to wait till Patty gets back and she can. Well, do we have to approve this to go over here? We'll wait till she gets here and then she can tell us what we need to do or what we need to act on.
Iron to come.
We still have five here.
3.16 was 3.228, 158,349. So
about 90,000, roughly, less in valuation. Patty, we're receiving place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2017. That's what we're going over.
Okay.
And like I was telling, making a comment, this is just a little bit less, or approximately 90,000 less than last year.
I should have probably ran the 2016 because our pipelines and our I just got this done yesterday because we had a – is it down?
Yeah, here's 2015. We're up quite a bit in 16 from 15.
Yep. Yeah, we're down just a little bit from – because I was just putting pipelines. We just got the pipelines in railroads, so it was just like
just
hot off the press last night at 5. So
We're dang near $204 million higher from 15 to 16, though, so we had an incredible increase.
We had 2 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
But we're real close to what last year's valuation was for the county. The county as a whole at that $3,228,067,900.
Yep.
And this is the updated amount then for each of the fire districts, the schools, cities, and townships.
Yes. And like I said, I don't think there will be any corrections. We just got them on like a Friday afternoon. We started plugging them in, so we just got them done yesterday. And I don't see that there would be anything with the railroads or pipelines that will be corrected. So, a TIF project got paid off, so we had to hurry up and take that off. Because if the TIF gets paid off, and you get the school district gets advantage of the excess then. So one of the TIF part projects got paid off, so that helped a little bit for Beatrice.
So I entertain a motion to place this on file. And what do we need to approve these? No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, it is what it is. So I don't know that.
I would move that we receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2017.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Next, receive preliminary requests for levy allocations to county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agricultural Societies. That's resolution number. Nope, that's the next thing.
On these levy allocations, what?
These are the ones you're placing on fire. And there was a few that didn't turn them in. Adams Rural Fire District, and then we had two townships, Nemaha and Riverside. So what we do is we use last year's request. So by August 1st, they didn't have. Didn't come in.
Adams Fire.
We didn't have Adams Fire, and we did not have Nemaha Township or Riverside Township.
For their request?
We didn't have the request, so we use what you do is you use the year before's request, and then it'll be up to you guys when you approve the final budget. We'll see what they've actually put on the final budget in September.
Am I looking at this wrong? If they've requested, is this what they requested?
This is last year's request. So I'm going to allow them that amount because they're under the lid. Well, they have to bring it down anyway.
Right. So they're
the Adams.
So
yeah.
You just went with a flat rate
last year.
Mm-hmm. And it's just too much to. Okay.
Patty, on that I see where you just say Adams Rural Fire.
Yeah.
They have a property tax request of
$82,000. All of these guys have got to bring their requests down to the 3 cents.
Yeah, but I mean, they requested $82,000 and then allowed $66,000. What does that mean?
Okay, basically what I did is because Adams Rural Fire didn't turn in a preliminary request, I used last year's request of what they had on their preliminary.
And that was the $82,000?
Yeah. That puts a levy of 036,984, which is over the 3 cents. So then I'm only going to give them, because we, with the MFO, we only allow them three. So right. That means the 3 cents times the valuation, they can only have $66,514.83.
What was their request last year then?
$82,000.
And it's being lowered then, or I guess I don't understand.
They request that, but they can't go over that 3 cents value. They can't go over the 3 cents of levy. The 3 cents of levy gets you that.
I understand that, and that's my question on that.
Yeah.
These fire districts haven't really completed this yet, have they?
They're all over pretty, I think every one of them was over this year. So what we have to do is now they have to adjust their budget to $66,514.
Why didn't their budget stay flat, I guess, my question. I don't understand.
I think they basically have. I think it looks like they always request more than the 3 cents.
They didn't get the $82,000 last year.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
And they never have the valuations. All right. See, yeah. We don't certify valuations till August 20th,
okay.
So they really don't know. They're just kind of...
Gotcha.
They need to ask what they need, but
the question that I have that I've always had with these fire districts, that 3 cents is too much.
It's not required.
It's too much, mm-hmm. And in my instance, because they can't spend it fast enough.
Right.
I'm going to be flat out honest about it. In my instance, Odell, I'm on that fire department board. And there's way too much money sitting in the bank account. And everybody's required to be a member of MFO to collect your funds back from the state to charge that 3 cents. We don't need it. And that's why I'm not going to vote for it when it comes to us to vote down there. But somewhere along the line, they say that that's going to raise havoc with everybody else if they want it. It all has to be one or nothing. But I will guarantee you this is one that won't vote for it. So
I don't know
what's going to happen, but we'll find out.
It does not have to be that 3%.
3 cents.
3 cents, I'm sorry. We were told that forever, and then when we asked about it directly, it doesn't have to be. That's not right. They all just have to be the same. If we take them to 1 cent.
Yeah, but you have to have everybody agree.
Well, I don't think we have to. Do we have to have them agree, or we just say this is what it is now? I think that comes from us.
I don't think that's us. That comes from the fire districts.
I think they ask us. We still set what it is.
I mean, basically, I'm setting whatever you guys are asking me to set. So 3 cents has always been for a long time. And we used to be at 8.5 on townships. Now we dropped to 7.5.
I think if you set 2 cents, for instance, on fire districts, they can have the MFO as 2 cents. But everybody has to be at 2 cents.
Okay.
The state auditor.
Okay, but you have to be uniform. And this originally was sent down from the state. This 3 cent, I think, is what they recommended or something.
Yeah, they got together and decided this was the amount that they were going to use.
Okay.
But the way she explained it to me was, you know, you can still have an MFO, but it can be 2 cents.
Okay.
Or it can be whatever.
Okay, because, of course, everybody knows what's happened. The property tax valuations have went way up here, and we're charging the same amount,
We're charging the same levy.
What's the valuation that went up every year for the last 5 years, or maybe four? They're still charging that 3 cents. And I never could get that through my head.
If
you can't spend the money fast enough, is what I'm saying. It's wrong.
Lower that, though, I mean, that's something.
That's something we better be visiting with them and see, because
fire, you know, rural fires are short on money, and others that the wealthier areas are.
Yeah. And that's the wealthier areas.
Well, what this is, though, you have to, they give you a preliminary amount that they want.
Yes.
By August 1st, but by September 1, you have had to have decided what you're going to give them so that they can continue on with their budget. So you have to know if you're going to do any cutting on our levy request. You know,
is that our decision then, that 3 cents?
Yes.
Ultimately, yes.
Yes. We don't have to give anybody anything.
Okay.
But you do.
But there's a consequence if we don't give them anything. I mean, then
on the fire, there is.
Yeah.
On the fire districts, if we decide to give none of them, I mean, give zero, allocate zero levy to any of them, they can audit that it was passed in the state like a year or 2 years ago. It was passed in the state. The fire districts can actually go up to 10 cents a levy on their own. All we have to do is 1 year not give them anything.
So we have to always stay above
zero.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to stay above nothing. Otherwise, they have that ability to really jack it up.
They need to have money to function. I'm not against that. That's not what I'm saying. But the way it's set up right now, they're getting way too much money they need to function.
Yeah, and they got to spend this money.
Yeah.
And like Terry said, they can't spend it fast enough. Some of them can't. Yeah,
well, right. Some of them can't. It depends on the equipment and all that. I know new fire trucks, well, yeah, that's a lot. Another whole story, but that's a lot of money. But
well, it's been set up so it gives them the ability. This is the top. They can't go over. But it's up to each one of these entities to watch their budget, and the people who elect them and appoint them say, hey, you're spending too much money.
Through the MFO, each one of them gets 3 cents, no matter what. They don't have the ability to adjust lower. It's 3 cents, and they're
collecting. They all need to be
have to charge that amount to be a member of the MFO.
No, they have to be the same. Okay,
same.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Have to spend it, but then they got to put it in. Well,
we better start having those discussions.
Well, from the city side of it,
budget it, and then
the city's
there.
Does a good job at finding ways to finance things, and the city, I think, talked with the different rurals, you know, and with everybody at that 3%, I think it was that happy medium at one time. Like you said, with property values up, it might be time. We talked about it last year, backing it off.
And maybe the city, as you say, their valuations haven't moved as much as other.
Well, no, this, if you look on here, though, it's Beatrice Rural Fire. It's not Beatrice City.
Which is housed in the Beatrice Fire Department.
Part of it, and I don't know how they separate whatever.
Yeah,
but it's still,
right.
This 3 cents
the
falls
city is
under.
Different.
I don't know what the city is
City
at.
Fire is different, but they're still in the MFO somehow. City Fire, but.
Well, I'm not exactly sure on that.
This might be a good time to bring those down, though, Terry. I mean, it keeps going up, and
try and have some discussion with some of them.
Yeah. Well, but this is where you're setting it now.
We're setting it today.
That's what you're doing right now.
It has to be set by September 1st.
Okay, right. When we go down to have the fire
we
board
need to
meeting,
decide that a month ago.
Say five members say. We don't want that 3 cents. We want 2 cents.
Yeah. You doesn't matter because we have to. We've already, if you pass this, you've already said they're going to get 3 cents of our levy. So when 3 cents is set by you, I lose 3 cents no matter what.
Do they have
to
take the 3 cents?
It's going to be how it calculates out to how much dollars that amounts to.
All these have to adjust their levy because now the valuation's back down. So all these guys are going to have to readjust their budgets.
But, I mean, that's minimal, though, if you go
by
valuation.
Yeah.
Right,
the total valuation's down really minimal. One area might be more than.
But
the
Adams
other,
but is only going to get $66,000, not $82,000.
Yeah, I think if we want to edit that, I think the problem is
we don't do it today.
It's too late now for the MFO to change the MFO.
We do that by next year
for the MFO.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
That's what I said last year, though.
Yeah, I know, and we didn't do that.
And then you forgot.
The discussion needs to start now.
Start the discussion now.
Yes.
Started very much so.
They're all short.
I got to
forget about it.
Right,
we forget about it, and John said, "No, we're approving these today."
Myron,
yeah,
I'd like to propose that we receive the preliminary request for levy allocation to the county board.
When you say preliminary request, does that mean this isn't a final request?
Right, exactly.
We're going to do the resolution next to approve all of this now.
This is receiving the
receiving what the requests are. Yeah.
We have a motion that for receiving the preliminary request for levy allocations for the different entities. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. And this is, we're just receiving them. Okay, we're not voting.
Thank you.
6-0 in favor. Now, the next one is the resolution, and that's what the sheet of paper is here. It's resolution number
17-25.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove resolution setting final allocation of levy authority for the following. Townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agriculture Society.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion by Byers and a second by Hill. Now we have discussion.
I will mention that the Ag Society, if you notice the request and the allowable request, property that they initially requested was $140,400. In talking to Matt right now, he told me to hold everything as it was for last year. So that request is the same that we're allowing as what last year's was.
They got the $135,000.
So that's what we're putting in for this year.
So if we approve this resolution, then this is the ones we, I mean, this is the dollar amount what their levy, and then their dollar amount what they will raise for their budget for the year.
Yeah, basically what they're going to have to do, the fire districts, all of them, are going to have to come in with a different budget that asks for that allowable that I've got calculated there. So Adams will have to adjust their budget from $82,000 down to $66,514.83.
But, Patty, you're saying that they had an $82,000 budget now? Why is it lowered?
No. They had an $82,000 request.
Okay. All right. So then it was lowered down to something similar to what you had.
I'm going to tell them they can. That would have gave them a 36-cent levy.
A 3.6-cent.
3.6-cent levy. All right. So if we want a 3-cent levy, then they're going to have to adjust. All of them are going to have to adjust down to where my allowable tax request column is.
All right.
Patty?
Okay.
That's 25%, though. Right up.
Patty, what they do is that, if I'm understanding it correctly, and so that maybe we can shed some light on this so everybody understands, maybe.
Okay.
What they do is they put a budget in that they know is going to cover that 3 cents so that none of them guys come in underneath of the 3 cents. And so they're usually quite a bit above, and then they have to fix it for the final to be lower.
Because they do not have the valuations when they have to put the request in.
The preliminary budget, so yes.
They don't have any numbers from me until August 20th. I certify the values.
Yeah.
So they really don't know what, you know, where they're at until
we're making sure they're not going to be at 2.8 cents.
Yep.
Well, but if they are,
then they have to
raise it.
But that's what we've had before. Some had to be raised, some had to be lowered. These are really being lowered. I mean, that's 25%.
Some of them, you actually look at Wymore Rural down there, the general fund, the sinking fund isn't part of the same thing. Their general fund, they came in with a budget request lower.
Well, look at Beatrice Rural, the $222,000 request, and they're down to $185,000. I mean, these must have been anticipating a big increase in valuation, a big increase.
No, it's like Gary said, they make sure they put in a requested budget that it's going to be over that amount.
Yep.
But these aren't even similar to last year. I mean, you'd think they'd be on par with 16.
You have last year's resolution. What do you look at?
I have 15 and 16. Here's 16. That's final, I believe.
These are valuations.
Yeah.
The request is what? I don't know what.
The requests are always.
I have 15.
They're always higher.
And, you know, we did, for the last 4 years, we've had an increase in valuations. So this is the first time that we're going to see this down.
Well, down just really minimal down.
Right. But at one point, we had 28% increases in farm ground at one time.
I mean, Adams Rural Fire District has a valuation of $221,716,000.
Yep.
Philly Township's going to have to adjust theirs because they were over the 7.5 cents, too. Unless any of them have a special election, that's the only thing that they could do to go over the 7.5 cents. On the townships.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
You have Nimmerhoff.
They must have a start.
Why is that one starred?
Because they didn't turn in a budget. They didn't turn in a preliminary, so I'm using last year's request. $34,380.
Okay. Why would they not turn in?
They just didn't do it. Yeah.
Riverside, same thing.
But now they all have to come with a final request, and we'll approve that in September.
Yep.
So the preliminary one, don't get so hung up on the preliminary one. That it's important they turn one in, but it also will vary based on our valuations.
All the fire districts will have to adjust their budgets.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then one township. Well, it could be three if the two that didn't turn one in.
Yeah, Nemaha and Richardson. Riverside. Nemaha and Riverside. Do we have a motion?
Have you talked to Matt about this, Don, as far as budget planning? Has he said anything else about the rural fires? We've talked about it the last couple of years, at least, I know.
One year, I remember him, several years, maybe it's been a few years back, he sent out letters to them kind of early on so that you could visit with them about different things. But I don't know. He hasn't. That's about what been a few years back. They got a letter from Matt. If you wanted to talk about, you know, bring him in and talk to him about what you're going to do. If you wanted to lower.
I'm like Gary. I think before we change that from the 3 cents to a lower amount, which I think it should be a lower amount, but before we do that, we make sure we get that ball rolling and get it done ahead of time. Today isn't the day to do that.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
So July next year.
No, not July next year. We don't want to wait that long.
Roger's right. You start now.
You start now.
Yeah.
And just so I know, July by July next year. Because I have to set them for, I mean, yeah. So. Because I had called Matt, too, on the Ag Society one yesterday, but then you called me back.
So they're going to have to submit final ones. So this preliminary one, I must have misunderstood. If we're going to change it, we have to do it today.
What we're setting is the final allocation of the levy authority. Basically, these are the ones that the county allows to be basically underneath our levy.
And they're going to submit a budget to fall within that, then the final budget, not a final levy.
We're saying that when they come back, their budget will come back, and it will have these tax levies. So that as we go through our county budget, we can make decisions knowing what their dollar amount will be now.
We're giving them the levy.
Well, we're allowing them, yes. Well, we're allowing them. We're saying, here's the levy we're going to allow you. Now, we back in the number, we come up with your budget a dollar amount, unless you want less, but I don't see any of them right now doing that, although Terry said Odell's going to do less, so.
Are. We'll see.
They are.
Hold on.
You need a motion to approve?
We already have a motion to second.
I thought so. I thought I did.
Oh, we need. No, we have.
I will.
We have the motion. We just need to vote. If everybody's done discussing, we'll vote. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann voting no. Next up, discussion of the fiscal year 17-18 budget. I'm looking at you. Matt's not here today. We did set up, Don and I talked a little bit though here this morning, that I think we set up to have the public hearing on the 30th of August. Since Matt's not here, since we really don't,
can we get a copy? I'd sure like to look at that before the 30th.
Well, I don't think we can possibly, because I'd have to have it ready to go by the 23rd. And I think, if nothing else, Terry, you are, and Denny, you are, we sit down, and I gave you guys a copy.
I've got a copy of that stuff, yeah.
The other day. Did you not get yours? Okay, well, anyhow, I just very preliminary. We've got to cut, because it's way over.
Okay.
So yeah.
Would some evening work to go through this?
Just tell me when, because we're running out of time.
Me talk to Matt today.
Not today. Got the federal people up there.
Okay. Well, anyway,
his business is be at home.
Whatever works for Danny, myself, and him, I think we should.
I'll get a hold of him, find out some dates, I guess.
And yeah, whatever fits his schedule, we'll work it in, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And like Don said, it basically, the proposed budgets have come in way over, and not way over, have come in considerably over, and there's going to need to be some adjustments made, and that's why we have our committee, our finance committee, of Denny and Terry and Matt.
I will be gone to NERMA meeting, board meeting, next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So up until that time, I'm available.
But I think we need to meet and get that done. And then the plan is then we're going to, on the 30th, we will have this budget and have discussion on the budget. Because if we want to change something, that's really when we need to change something as a board. And then we'll have the public hearing. We'll schedule a public hearing for the 13th. However, Don and I have had some discussion.
You make me
At one time, once you had the public hearing, we couldn't change that. But then since then...
I think kind of last I've read, and I've got to go back to it, we just have to republish it. We don't have to have another hearing.
We don't have to have another hearing. If we change something after that public hearing, this board does. Yeah.
As far as budgets, like I said, like on mine, I haven't even submitted anything. I mean, as far as labor, which is 85-90% of the county
we have
budget.
We have to get together and go through all of that. But your budget is not going to matter. We're into the hundreds of thousands, so we've got to start other places.
No big increases anywhere.
To that.
I mean, like you said, most of it is wage intensive. I mean, I got to cut elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Particularly, not that my different than others, but I lose attorneys, and that's really tough when you have to start replacing them because you don't always get the same quality.
I just got a draft from Paul, and I put together some things for members on the sheriff and CIR stuff, so that. Had to do that last night, worked on that, so that's we're started anyhow. I haven't got the actual completed copy because I had to go through and make sure they had everything in there, and I'm not all through it, but people I've checked off that we were missing a couple positions, I guess, yet. So.
Byron?
Yeah.
I don't know if now is the time if we're done here, but Galen's here. I think he's back with the recommendation on the rock and gravel.
Let's have him. Let's go ahead and do that because we can continue this if we need to after a bit. Galen?
On the rock and gravel bids, I recommend accept all the bids. As far as on the trucking, Rock-On was the lowest for trucking out of the Ace pit, and he was also the lowest for trucking out of the Powell pit, and the lowest for trucking out of the Alex pit. Except for three township locations. So I'd recommend that Rock-On get the trucking.
I make a move to accept Rock-On as our, shall we say, primary hauler for township materials. And, as far as I'm concerned, he can proceed. And one thing we probably should do, and I don't know if the township's all aware, but we're up a month now. We'll jump a month ahead. Maybe if you could have Becky drop a note, tell them you're going to need hauling, or some of them already turned that in.
Yeah, they've already been turned
in. They have, okay. Yeah, all right, then you're way ahead.
Wonderful.
I'll second, but Terry, do you want to add in the accepting all bids also?
Yes, and accept all bids.
I'll second then.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Galen. Now, any more back here on the 17-18 budget? Yeah,
I'd like to reurge the Finance Committee as they're going through things. Keep everybody very even keel. No big increases across the boards. We're going to have to look at everything. There's always going to be need. If there's an extra $1 million, I'll bet you money you throw it at somebody and they can spend it. So just because we think we need it doesn't mean we really do. We're going to have to keep stuff tied around the belt.
No, if there's an extra $1 million, we need to do one of these asphalt roads that isn't getting done.
I bet I know which one. But, that's what I'm saying. There's always a need. There's always money that can be spent. Doesn't mean we need to spend it, and it doesn't mean we need to take it from the taxpayer.
I agree with you. Very much so. And if you guys have a meeting or whatever and you come up with some preliminary numbers, email them to us or whatever, too, so we can look at them maybe before the meeting even or whatever. Have an idea so that when we come to the next our next meeting, we'll be having the discussion and basically decide where we're going to go on these things. So.
Well, and whatever office has the biggest decrease in budget from last year to this year, I'll take them out for pizza.
What if nobody has a decrease?
Well, I can't imagine no one would have a decrease, so we'll just see whose is the biggest decrease.
So you're putting out a challenge for them, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. An actual decrease decrease to the increase?
Yeah,
decrease to the increase? No, that does not count.
What if you just, whoever drops a car request,
That's him picking on you, not me.
I just need you on the road. That's okay.
All right. We have to vote. All right. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't think we voted. No. We didn't vote for the rock and gravel.
Yes, yeah, we did. That was 6-0.
Okay. All right.
That's why I looked at you when we didn't need to vote. This is just discussion.
He was just checking to see if the vote changed.
Okay. That's why I said, do we have to vote? And you go, yes.
Well, I'm looking at the rock and gravel because I didn't get the 6-0.
Can we just vote on discussion?
Yeah, what medication are you taking?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I need a break.
The only other thing we have on our agenda then, I think we're done, is we have a closed session on personnel. And there won't be any decisions coming out of the closed session or whatever. So,
is that the 15?
At this time, I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session necessary for public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 11:02 on the clock.
Sir, did you have something you needed to bring to the board? You've been here all meeting.
No, I just didn't listen.
Oh. Okay, who are you representing?
Come on up here a minute and say who you are and what.
Okay.
Joe visited with me here a couple weeks ago, so...
I'm Joe Murray. I live on the North School, and I'm considering and probably going to run for legislature here in District 30.
And where do you live?
I live by the North School in Southern Lancaster County. I've lived there since 1970.
Okay.
And I've been considered it, and I'm giving this look like you want me to give a whole speech. I wasn't going to give a whole thing.
Oh, that's fine.
But I want to say, if I'm going to represent or consider it, then I have to know what's going on and be able to represent what's going on. So I've been to the city council meeting here in Beatrice and other places already, and that's what I'm doing right now.
So okay, appreciate it.
You'll be seeing it again, and I'd like to talk, get to know some of the rest of you, all of you, at some point. So.
What's your occupation? What's your background?
Well, I'm 52 years old.
So come over by the mic.
Sorry.
Until
I was, for the first 40 years of my life, I worked a small business with my father. We did horse stuff. I trained horses. We had a finished grading landscape business. After that, I did some work in politics. I had some experience in politics in Lancaster County. I worked for the Lancaster County Republican Party as their executive director. It was a part-time job. I've currently been working for a company called a Horizon Inventory Specialist. It's based in Kearney, but it's just what we are. We're bean counters, and we work all over Nebraska and the eight surrounding states. We work for mom-and-pop businesses primarily, from convenience stores to grocery stores, hardware. Those are things I've been doing. So that's the close to who I'm at. And I like a chance to get to meet all of you sometime. So,
thank you. Sorry, I should have said who you were. I knew who you were, but the others were, yeah. Thank you, Joe. 11:04 on the clock, though. We need a motion to go into closed session.
We need one.
No, we don't. But
we didn't have a motion. No. We had him introduced first. Somebody has to make a motion.
So moved.
You got one on.
Second.
John, motion by Hill, seconded by Byers. Vote 6-0 in favor. Gary's going. Thank you.
And I have.
Okay. Don does have the one thing. Oh, here. Hold up. No, ready to come back in. I'll entertain a motion to, because that should be in public. So we got to go do this. Entertain a motion at 12:11 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Vote. 5-0 in favor.
You're going to stay.
Get your hands off of that.
4 in favor and 1 against, John? No.
5 in favor.
Don does have, and if you get a chance, pick this up. We need to go do
the inventories. Inventories. Take a few, go to our spot check.
Don't just take a few. You write who took what.
Well, right. Okay. But
no, don't.
That's good.
Because we did the other year. We handed these all out, and then 2 months later she comes back. Who took this one or who took that one?
You pull out which ones you want me to take, and I'll give them to you.
Put them in envelopes. Give them to us.
All right. We'll
put
just
them in envelopes
and
give them to us, and then keep a list of who had what.
Yeah.
Okay.
We wandered all over. That's the first I've seen the attic here.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that something up there?
What's that?
Isn't that attic something up there?
Oh, my gosh, it's awesome.
It is.
Everybody should have a tour of that for the
Well, we went around looking for stuff for the around here, you know.
Yeah. Good enough. Okay. Well, no, we're adjourned at 12:00.
We'll do adjourn.